Well, as we know, poker machine venues will be opening across the state tomorrow. In some ways, that is very regrettable. For the last few months, it's been very heartening to know that poker machine players around Australia were saving about $1 billion a month by the machines not being accessible to them. Let's not forget that about 40% of the money that is lost on poker machines comes from gambling addicts. But anyway, governments right around Australia, the government here in Tasmania has decided to continue to kowtow to the poker machine industry and to roll over and do what the industry wants and to open the venues from tomorrow. It also beggars belief that the state government has not seized the opportunity to bring in effective harm minimisation measures. I mean, the industry has been shut down for a few months. What a great opportunity that would have been for the state government to say, when you reopen, we need a number of harm minimisation measures. And in particular, $1 maximum bets, longer spin or game times, tougher penalties for venues that don't follow the rules, and getting rid of addictive features. I mean, it continues to be a nonsense in Tasmania that someone can gamble $5, win $3, and the machine carries on like they're a winner, when obviously they're not. They have lost money. Of course, this is an intensely human issue, and I've called today on the state government that if you're going to do nothing else, at least address the shocking death toll from gambling addiction. I mean, we know from credible research that more than 400 people a year suicide on account of poker machine gambling addiction. I mean, one suicide is one too many. 400 is just a mind-boggling figure. So, state government, if you're going to allow these machines to continue to operate in the community and in the suburbs, like right here, which is a real hotspot in the northern suburbs of Hobart, then, you know, properly fund suicide intervention and support services. Do implement a community protection plan with harm minimisation measures for the machines. Do introduce $1 maximum bets. Do have mandatory longer spin times on games. Do come down a lot tougher on venues that don't follow the rules. And do ban the addictive features on the machines. You know, they are the ways to reduce gambling addiction. They are the ways to reduce the shocking suicide rate as a direct result of poker machine gambling addiction.
See, I guess, a little bit less being spent in the poker machines because we do have that spacing, only 1 in 2 is being open. Obviously, that's, again, probably a little bit too little too late, to quote Sarah from this morning. Is that going to make much of a difference?
Well, we don't know whether the physical distancing restrictions are going to make much of a distance on the poker machines. Time will tell. Hopefully it does. Although Tasmania has been so fabulously successful responding to the pandemic, to the COVID-19 virus, that I do worry that it won't be very long before even that physical distancing rule in the pubs and clubs is dropped. The fact is, the only way to reduce the harm caused by poker machines, the only way to reduce the suicide rate from poker machines, is to make each machine fundamentally safer. I make the point again, it beggars belief that the state government didn't take the last 3 months as the opportunity to clean up the industry. That would have given the industry more than enough time to have lowered the maximum bet down to $1, to slowed the games down, to got rid of the addictive features. They haven't done any of that. And in fact, the state government remains committed to its so-called reforms to grant individual licences to pubs like this, or to the owners of pubs like this. The government, frankly, is genuflecting at the altar of the poker machine industry instead of seizing opportunities like the pandemic to clean up the industry. Look, I've been working with experts in the field for years now, and I've developed what I call the community protection plan, which has four simple ingredients. It's $1 maximum bets, it's slower spins, it's tougher fines for venues that don't follow the rules, and it's removing addictive features like false wins. That's what the experts are saying is needed. These are the sort of reforms that are easily implemented So at Beggars Belief, they weren't implemented over the last 3 months. Now, the state government will say, well, it cares about poker machine addiction and it is committed to doing something about it. But it's striking that the reforms set to go through, or at least to the Parliament in Tasmania later this year, specifically do not address harm minimisation measures. The government's own documentation explicitly states it doesn't go to harm minimisation measures. So it's not good enough for the state government to say, frankly, that a little sign on the back of a dunny door in a pub, it's not good enough for the government to say that is an effective harm minimisation strategy. Because at the end of the day, all it is a little sign on the back of a dunny door. You know, the state government refuses to take on the issue of harm minimisation and to make the tough decisions and to say to the poker machine industry, you will have lower bets, you will have slower spins, we will come down on you when you don't implement, for example, effective harm minimisation measures. And the state government needs to say to the industry and get rid of all of those addictive features, the bells, the whistles, the flashing lights, the false wins, all of the things that really make the poker machine industry one big con.
Do you think we should be studying the behaviour of gamblers over the next period, just to see what effect the lockdown or shutdown of poker machines has had on them?
Absolutely. It will be very important for researchers. It will be very... Sorry, I'll start that again. There we go. Look, it's very important for the state government and the gambling regulator, and also for academic researchers to observe and to analyse the poker machine industry and player behaviour over the next, you know, several months. You know, we've had poker machine players, including a lot of addicts, haven't had access to the machines. Hopefully we will see some of those people not come back to the machines. I fear we will see some pent-up demand and a real rush back to the machines. We don't know, but we need to learn from that. I tell you what we don't need to study anymore is how to make the industry safer, how to make the machines safer, how to reduce gambling addiction, and how to reduce the shocking suicide rate. And it's the sort of reforms that are in my poker machine community protection plans. $1 bets, slower spins, tougher penalties on venues that don't follow the rules, and getting rid of the addictive features. We've studied all that to death. In fact, in 2010, the Federal Productivity Commission brought out two volumes about this thick with a blueprint for gambling reform in this country, and no government since then, not the Gillard government, nor the Abbott government, the Turnbull government, or the Morrison government, none of them have implemented that blueprint. The Gillard government, to its credit, did implement some changes, and they were overturned by Tony Abbott as soon as he got into government. Look, I think the community will be pleased to see more infrastructure stimulus spending coming into the state from Canberra, plus the state government's own funds. That is good, but I have two concerns. One is the risk that too much of that will ultimately go into the two northern seats as blatant pork barrelling to keep those seats in Liberal Party hands. And my other concern is that infrastructure spending is a bit off in the never-never. Even things that are described as shovel-ready really won't start for months or years. For example, with the airport roundabout just near Hobart. So, you know, it's good, but it's a long way away. What the government needs to be doing is telling us what it's going to do to help the community from the end of JobKeeper and other short-term programs, and when this other money comes and starts to do good. You know, the community needs to know, will JobKeeper be extended? Will it at least be extended for industries that are particularly vulnerable, particularly here in Tasmania, such as the arts sector, culture sector, tourism, hospitality, commercial accommodation? You know, we are staring down the barrel of a big gap in support between the current programs and the money that will come into the state months down the track or years down the track from our infrastructure spending.
We're seeing too much of a focus on infrastructure, you know, the funding going towards infrastructure rather than all of those other sectors that you have mentioned that are obviously really struggling and struggling.
Look, I don't criticise infrastructure spending in its own right. I mean, I find that infrastructure spending does make our nation generally a stronger and more prosperous nation, and particularly when governments are borrowing money at a time like this. You're better to borrow money for things like infrastructure, which actually improve the country over the long term. So the problem is not that we're spending on infrastructure. The problem is that the government is not also committing to other programs that the country needs, particularly in the short to medium term. I mean, it shouldn't be one or the other. It shouldn't be extending JobKeeper or infrastructure spending. It's extending JobKeeper and infrastructure spending. You know, the country can afford to do both. And in fact, overnight, you know, there's been a report from the IMF saying that Australia is actually economically coming through the pandemic, second only to South Korea, better than all other developed countries. So, you know, we should applaud that, but we should also capitalise on that. We can afford to support people in the short to medium term, and we can build a nation-building infrastructure over the long term.